Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The sermon for today, the 16th Sunday after Trinity, called Resurrections, is written by the late Archbishop John C. Calhoun, Metropolitan of the Anglican Catholic Church. First gave us September 19th, 1999. Is it possible to be a Christian and not believe in life after death? Can one be a Christian and not believe in an afterlife? The clear and simple answer to those questions is no. But it is possible now, as it was also possible at the time of Jesus, to be a Jew and not believe in an afterlife. A sect within Judaism called the Sadducees accepted the authority of only the first five books of the Old Testament, known as the Torah. Those books did not seem to talk about an afterlife, so the Sadducees did not believe in it. Other Jews pointed to various passages in the books of the prophets to indicate that there is life after death for the people of God. But even some of those passages seem to talk more about the survival of the whole nation of Israel after military defeat than about the survival of individual people after death. So the Jewish view on the subject in Jesus' time was muddled. For Christians, the resurrection of Jesus is the most convincing evidence about the afterlife. Jesus survived death in a body, and then he went back up to heaven to live forever with God. The promise we Christians have is that since we have been baptized into Jesus' body, we too shall come back from the dead in bodies, and we too shall ascend into heaven to live with God forever. The question of the afterlife came up, of course, during the 3 years of Jesus' earthly ministry that preceded his death and resurrection. Jesus made it clear not only that he believed in life after death, but also that he was the person who was able to provide it. When the Sadducees asked him a trick question to try to get him to admit that believing in an afterlife is crazy, Jesus reminds them of what God said to Moses at the burning bush. When Moses lived, the Hebrew patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, had been dead for hundreds of years. Yet God told Moses, "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." If Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were not living on in some way, if their relationship to God was not continuing somehow, even though they were dead, God would have told Moses, "I was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Jesus also performed three resurrections which the Gospels describe for us. They are not exactly like the resurrection that he experienced or the ones that we will experience. His resurrection was permanent, as ours will be. We will get new bodies like his, bodies which will never die. The people in the gospel miracles died again later on, or else they would still be walking the earth, writing their memoirs, and appearing on talk shows. But the power that raised them is the power that will raise us. There are several things about these miracles that are worth looking at, along with the obvious value they have as previews of the great resurrection to come. In today's gospel, Jesus is going into a city called Nain, which is not far from where he had grown up. He and his entourage run into a funeral procession which is coming out of the city gate. The dead man is the only child of a widow. It was sad enough that she had lost her last close relative, but he was also her only source of financial support. Jesus feels sorry for her and tells her to stop weeping. Then he goes over to the stretcher in which the dead man was being carried, the first century equivalent of a cattle and he touches it. That was shocking, because touching a dead body or anything associated with a dead body made one unclean, and Jesus was known as a holy man. Jesus then addresses the corpse, saying, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." At that point, the man sits up and starts talking, though regrettably enough, St. Luke doesn't tell us what he said. Jesus hands the man over to his mother. The crowd praises God, and the news about what Jesus can do spreads throughout the whole country. It seems clear to me that the person for whom Jesus performed the resurrection was a widow of Nain, not her dead son. There is no implication in anything Jesus teaches or in anything Jesus does that being dead is in and of itself a particularly bad thing. In each of the resurrection miracles, there is a family member who is in anguish. The mother here, the father of a dead little girl in the second story, and Mary and Martha, the sisters of the dead man Lazarus, in a third. In each case, the resurrection is Jesus' response to the grief of the family members. That suggests that grief is a sorrier state than death is. It also reminds us that the resurrection of the last day promises not only individual survival, but also the reunion of families and the reconstitution of friendships. And in case that casts a faint pall over an otherwise glorious future, remember this. The family members you don't like to invite for Thanksgiving and the ones you are mortified to run into at weddings will either be in hell, where they won't have to worry about them, or just possibly your and their newly perfected natures will make you glad to see them, see each other after all. When it comes to an afterlife, Christianity does not teach that the soul lives on in some filmy way. The New Testament teaches the resurrection of the flesh. We shall survive death just as Jesus did, not in bodies ready for heaven, where we shall enjoy God forever. Now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as this most justly do, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.